This is what I'm gonna do, and I don't wanna surprise you. I'm gonna tell a poop story. Does anybody like poop stories? No? I know, it's gross, I know. So I want you to forewarning what I'm doing, because you'll be like, that's so improper to say in front. But I need to tell you the story, but it's a poop story, so it's just a prior warning, so be ready. And if you're easily grossed out, cover your ears and don't listen, okay? But here's my story. So here's the deal. There is this one guy that I knew that he's serving over somewhere in Central Asia, we'll say, okay? And he's over there, and the thing with Central Asia is their bathrooms aren't like ours. Like, they don't have the nice little white toilets with a nice big seat with like the warmer on it, so when you sit down, it's nice and warm and cozy, you know? It's not like that. And so they basically have this little hut that's not, or like a shack, a little hut? House. Out back, like an outhouse.
Shed.
Shed, perfect word, okay? It's like a little shed, imagine that, and it's outside of the house, and you gotta go out there, and you open the door, and there's nothing in the shed really but a hole. It's the ground, and then a hole, a pretty deep hole. And so that's where they go, the bathroom. And so it's kind of like weird. I don't know how many of you guys would know what to do if I was like, yeah, the bathroom's right in there, and it's a hole, so go ahead and have fun. Would you know what to do? Some of you, no, you wouldn't. Some of you guys are like, yeah, it depends on what you need to do in there. We won't get into that. Anyway, it could be confusing, right? You walk up and you're like, where's the toilet? Like, how do you flush this thing? Like, how do you use this? It's an essential of life, right? You agree that at least a couple times a day you need to use the restroom, don't you? Like, if there were no restrooms, okay, it could be awkward. So it's one of the things of life that we need. We need to eat. We need to be able to use the restroom. We need to sleep. Well, this guy was out visiting Central Asia, and he came across this restroom he had never seen before. He had never left America, and he's visiting, and the owner of the house is like, yeah, the bathroom's outside. It's in this little shack or shed, and just open the door, go in, and you can use it. And so he goes out there, and they're all sitting around. They're having tea, and they're just waiting, and they're waiting, and they're like, it was an older gentleman, so they're like, he's taking a long time. Like, I wonder if he's okay. So they keep drinking their tea, and they're just hanging out, and they're chatting and having fun. Man, he's still in that bathroom. Like, I wonder if he found the bathroom okay. And like, time's going by, like a lot of time. So they're getting a little worried. They're like, he's an old dude. Like, maybe we need to check on him. So the guy, the man of the house goes out. He's like, I'll go check on him. Don't worry. So he goes outside and he knocks on the door and he didn't hear nothing. He's like, he's really quiet. Like, maybe, should I go in? Should I look? He's like, I better go in case something happened. Maybe he fell down the hole. Like, who knows? So he opens the door. Okay. And there's the old gentleman. He had no idea what to do. So there he was. And he was sitting on the ground, flat on the ground, with his legs sticking straight out, just like you'd see, like this. And his bum is just hanging right over that hole, just hanging in it. And he's just looking, and he's as happy as can be. And he's like, these are pretty neat. And he's like, do you know what you're doing? He's like, well, I just think it's really cool that this little basket right here is just full of all these crumpled up papers. It's already, they like pre-crimple the toilet paper for you. That was the trash can. So they threw it in the trash can, and he was pulling it out and using the toilet paper that was already used. Ah, it's so gross, right? That's disgusting. But he thought that they had already, like, oh, so kind of them. They, like, pre-crimpled it for me. He suddenly had no idea. And so the guy's like, he just turned white, closed the door, and left. He's like, just do your business, man. I'm getting out of here. Poor old guy. Can you imagine? So, like, this basic necessity of life, he was totally confused. I have no idea how to even go to the bathroom in this country. Like, that must feel horrible. Now, here's the deal, okay? The reason why I tell you that is because it's pretty extreme. I know, it's crazy, and it's a poop story. But I wanted to illustrate a point. You have a basic necessity that he's totally confused about, and he just doesn't know how to use it. And as we talk about this thing that we use this big word, it's the M word, missions. We keep talking about Guatemala, and we keep saying the word missions, and it's kind of like a necessity of our Christian walk. It's something, it's one of the basics, most basic things that you should understand. You should be able to understand that word missions and what it is and be able to engage in it in your life because it's one of the necessities of being a Christian. Now, it's kind of like a bathroom in a way, or not in a weird way, but it's one of the building blocks of who we are. I wonder, though, how many of us, when we say that word missions, are all totally like awkward with it, like we have no idea what to do with this thing. And you're kind of the old guy like falling in a hole, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know how to use this. I don't know what missions is. I don't understand why we have it. I just hear stuff about Guatemala. Are they going on a vacation? Is it a retreat? Is it like, what is this thing called missions that you guys talk about all the time? And so I don't want it to be this awkward toilet for us, all right? I want us to be able to understand what missions is. Why is it one of the fundamentals of who we are if we call ourselves believers? And so I want us to read in Acts chapter 17. Can you guys turn there with me real quick? Acts 17, verse 24 is where we're going to start. We're going to read a few verses here. turning or clicking. Good job. Those are some quick fingers. Good job. All right. Acts 17, verse 24, it says this. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, right? God doesn't need anything. He wouldn't be a very big God if he needed stuff. Since he himself gives to all mankind, what does he give? Life and breath in everything. And he made from one man, get this, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place where they're going to live. Like God determined that. Look at verse 27. What should they be doing? That they what?
Seek God.
Seek God. And perhaps, look at this, feel their way toward him. And what?
Find him.
What's the purpose that God has put every single person on the face of this planet here for? To seek him and to find him. Every nation, all across this entire globe, that means the Chinese people, that means the Middle Eastern people, that means the African people, that means us here in Merritt Island, we were all put here for a purpose, to seek God, but not just seek him and like act like we're walking around all blind. Have you ever done that? Like played, like you put a blindfold on and you try to find your way through the house or something like that, or you're playing tag and it's really dark, you turn all the lights out and you're trying to play tag and like you can't and you run into stuff and like crack your ankles on things. It's horrible, right? It's hard to find your way around in the dark because you can't see. And some of these people are walking around and they're trying to find God and it's like they're blind, man, or they're wearing a blindfold. And so they're having to feel their way toward God. Like, where is he? Maybe I'm getting a little closer. But the ultimate purpose is that they find him. Like, God wants us to find him. How awesome is that? Now, I have a question for you. What would make it easier if somebody's walking around here with a blindfold and he's trying to make his way through every single aisle here without hitting a chair? What would make it easier for him to do that?
Take off the blindfold.
Well, besides that, yes, absolutely. Take the blindfold off. Yeah?
Have someone guide you
or take your blindfold off.
Practice.
It'd be a lot easier. Or practice if you're like James Bond. Yes, you could do that too. But listen, we then are that purpose. As you accept Christ, this word missions is a way for us to be able to go to these people and help them as they're feeling through all this darkness and blindness, trying to find their way to God. He calls us, his children, to be their guide, to help them find God and help them get closer to him. That's why every time we talk about your five, what's your five? Who remembers? Who's your five?
People that you want to like guide.
Lead closer to God, right? They're seeking him. We're supposed to be helping them get there. That's the point of missions. So when we go to Guatemala or wherever else we go, Teen Missions does a ton of trips all over the world. And you're like, where are they going? Why are they doing that? It's because the goal is to go to these people who don't know where God is or who God is and help tell them that. Help them see. Take that blindfold off so they can find God. Look what else it says here. It says, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. Like God's not far from us. You ever think about God being really far away because you can't see him sometimes? And we talk about him like in third person as if he weren't actually sitting here in the room, which you know he is. Like he's here right now with us. And we're like talking about him like, oh, that's awkward. Like you're right here. My bad, God. You know, like he's here. He's like all around us and with us and makes us breathe. He's more here than we are. How awesome is that? And that's what Paul's saying here. In him, we live and move and have our being. Like our very breath is in God. All right. We don't come in here and go, God, please come and be with us tonight as we make a little service. Because God was already in the door before we ever walked in it. He was waiting on us. And when you go to school, he was already waiting for you at school. And when you got in the car, he was already waiting for you there. God is way bigger than we could ever imagine. And so he's not far from us either. So in those moments where you're like, man, my heart's real broke. Or I feel alone, you know. God's right there. He was there before you got there. You're not alone. Remember that. All right. Let's see. It says, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. What's an offspring? Anybody know what that means? Yeah. Yeah, like your child. Okay. We're the children of God. God created us and made us. So we're his. We're his children. And look at verse 29. It says, being then God's offspring, which is what?
Children.
children, we ought not to think, ought not, that's fun to say, we ought not to think that the divine, blah, 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 I'm rapping to you now, hold on, let me restart. We ought not to think that the divine being, God, is like gold or silver or stone. Why is he saying that? He is better than all of those. What are these people doing, you think, with gold, silver, and stone? They're making idols, right? And they're worshiping this like stone that just sits there and looks back like we said the fire hydrant does a long time ago. Remember? We talked about idols. Like, what if we were to worship this thing? Is it going to answer our prayers? It's not even going to smile. It can't even smile. It just sits there, right? It does nothing. Why are we praying to this? But people do that. It will spin if I spin it. But it can't spin itself. That's a horrible God, isn't it? Like, if I don't know if you saw Avengers or not. I like the movie, but ask your parents first. But Avengers, when like the Hulk like hits that guy, he's like, puny God. You know, like, I don't know if you're talking. Anyway, that's what I think of. That's what idols are. They're puny gods. They're nothing. Okay? They're just created things. God's not like that. Look what our God is. He says, not an image formed by the art and imagination of man. Some dude made this, you know. Or maybe it was a girl. I don't know. It could have been a girl. Maybe it was a machine, but a dude like designed the machine to make it. Whatever. But the point is, we did this. We invented this. We thought this up. Now, sometimes people think about God like, hey, those pastors at the church over there, they came up with this really cool idea about this God. And then they started preaching about it and telling really cool stories with it. And then they obviously like pulled out the piano and then it just became real. Oh, this is awesome. They created this really cool God. Let's go to that church. And sometimes in our mind, we think that like churches and pastors came up with this idea of God. When the truth is, what Paul's telling us is that God was before any one of us. God is the reason why we ever came to this church. And God is bigger than our imagination and our thoughts and anything we could create. And look at verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked. What do you think a time of ignorance is? What does that mean? Yeah. Ignoring, not caring. Ignoring what? God and truth, right? And doing what's right. And so people are ignoring him and just doing whatever they want and they don't care about him. And that's called sin. And what's being told to us here is that God overlooked it for a while. Like God's been really patient with us because we've spent thousands and thousands of years sinning against him and rebelling and forgetting, ignoring him. But that time's over. Look what it says. But now he commands all people everywhere. How many people's that? All people where?
In the world.
Does that include you?
Yeah.
Does that include the dude in Africa that we don't know that's sitting on a stump right now?
Yeah.
Thinking about us? Well, that'd be weird, right? Yeah, that guy. All of the people of the entire world who have ever lived and will ever live, everyone falls into this category. He's being very, very specific. All people everywhere are called to do what? They're commanded by the God of this universe to repent. As you sit in your chair tonight and you're sitting next to your friends and you're here listening to what we're talking about, have you answered that command? Tonight, if God were to ask you, have you repented? I've commanded you to repent. I've commanded you to turn to me, to seek me like you're in the dark and find me. Have you found God? Have you given your heart over to Jesus because he's died for you? Have you done that? See, that's the heart of missions, is that we desire for people to be able to do that. Because they're walking around and they're blind and they're feeling everywhere and they haven't heard truth. And so many of us get to hear it every Wednesday and Sunday and probably way more than that. Do you have a heart that says, I want to go tell people? And you don't have to go to Guatemala to do it. I'd love for you to go. I feel like we're called to go as a church. But you could do it in your home. You could do it in your school. Are you doing it? Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you're the one who's like, I don't know Jesus yet. I haven't given him my heart yet. Maybe you need to find God tonight. All right? Look what he says why we're able to do this. All right? Verse 31, because he has fixed a day, there's a special day coming, or that came, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he has appointed. Who is that? Who's going to judge this world? Jesus, why can he judge the world? because he created it and he died for it. What else do you need? It's his. He's the king. He owns it. There will be a day when he comes back. But here's the cool part. Look at this. I love how he saves the best for last. And of this, he has given assurance to all. That's all of us again, right? All people everywhere. What are we being assured of? By raising him from the dead. What does that do? What happened when Jesus was raised from the dead? Do you guys remember when we looked at Hebrews? When Jesus raised from the dead, it did something. What did it do? What did it give us? Hope, definitely. Because it gives us what? Life. Absolutely, dude. His coming back to life and beating death gives us life. And so there's not bad news at the end of this. There's good news. The bad news is if people don't turn to God because they keep feeling around and never find him, and we don't show up to help them find him. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is there for us so we can find God. It's not this hopeless thing where we're just going to be lost in the dark forever. Jesus came down to be what? To be the way, the truth, and the life for us. So that we can actually have life, just like you said. That's awesome. And that's what we get to do when we do missions. We get to go tell people that thing of what you said, hope. It's not hopeless. You know what? As I've been on the mission field, forget that. As I've been here in Merritt Island and talked to some people, as I have some people show up to my office here in this building, I have conversations with people that feel absolutely hopeless. You know, there's people like that out there. Like, what's the point? My life is falling apart. My family is falling apart. I don't even know why I'm here anymore. I have zero hope. The awesome thing in the heart of missions is that we get to tell them that there's hope. And we get to tell them what we know, that Jesus Christ loves them more than anything, that he's created them, and that he's died for them so they can have life. Life. That's hope. And that's the heart of missions, okay? So, here's a verse I want, a couple verses I want to leave you guys with tonight. We're going to close with these. So listen real close as we finish. I want you to take them out of here and talk about them with your fire stations, okay? So listen close. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15 say this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, do you guys know this verse? Will be what? Saved. That's really good news, right? When I read that to you, like, if you call on Jesus, you're going to be saved. Isn't that good news? When you hear that, you're like, sweet, I don't have to go to hell. Like, this is awesome. But hold on. Now we're going to rewind. We're going to do a little hashback. Verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they haven't believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? Whoa, we just did like a rewind. Like, actually, how do they get to the point where they're able to call on the Lord if they're walking around feeling around in the dark? What are the steps for them to get there? What does it say up there? Can you follow that rewind real quick and tell me? First, what has to happen? Someone has to be sent out to them, right? Someone's got to go to them. And then when they go to them, what do they have to do? Tell them the truth, preach, right? Tell them the truth about Jesus. And then from there, what can they do now? Hear it. Oh, they hear the truth. They're like, okay, yes. And then they're able to what? Believe it. And once they believe it, they're able to do what? Now we get to the good news, right? Now we get to back to that first awesome good news, that phrase I said, if you call on him, you'll be saved. But there's some steps involved there. God sending us out so that we will go to these people and we'll tell them the truth and they can hear it, believe it, so they're able to go, God, I need your son, and be saved. What are you doing with that truth? I want you guys to seriously pray tonight about a couple things, okay? First of all, everybody here has a mission field. I don't know if you know it or not, but you're a missionary. You're like, I'm not a missionary. I'm going to be a mechanic, or I'm going to be an architect, or whatever you're going to be. Good, but you're also a missionary. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, missions is one of those basics, remember, like a bathroom that sometimes we're confused about. You're all a missionary. Now, it might not be that you're a foreign missionary away in Africa, but right in your life, as you live on mission for Christ, you have a mission. Ask God what that mission is. So as you guys get together and pray tonight, will you ask him, God, what is my mission? And second, are you specifically calling me to go to Guatemala? Maybe God is calling you to join our mission here, that we've been going down there for a reason because we truly feel God's calling us as a group. Our pastors feel that God is calling us as a church to plant churches there. Maybe God's calling you to be a part of that mission. And if not, just say, God, where then? Where are you calling me to be a missionary? All right, let's pray, and then I'll let you guys break up in your groups. Father God, we do love you so much. God, it's good news. It's awesome news. We are broken, and we don't deserve you, but yet you still love us. And you love us so much, you sent Jesus so he would die for us, and we don't deserve that. Thank you. Thank you for that incredible news. And I pray, Father, that as we think about this thing called missions, that we wouldn't be confused about it. We would understand that it is a vital part of who we are as believers and that we would live on mission for Jesus Christ. We love you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.